He was about, it's about half of his usual length of his sermon. He explained, I'm so sorry to inform you that my dog, who is fond of eating paper, ate the last portion of my sermon, and I have nothing more to say. After the service, a visitor who was there that Sunday from another church shook the hands of the preacher. And here's what she said, Pastor, if that dog of yours ever has any pups, I'd like to get one for my pastor. We're in a series titled Love Reigns. Today is part three, but I want to go back to Easter Sunday when we kicked it off. We said that love reigns over Easter. What does that mean? Jesus died on the cross, rose again. He conquered death and sin. It's a done deal. It's a victory given to us. Love was demonstrated. He has all authority in life going forward. You want to connect with him and do life in relationship to him because he is the one that has the keys of all the future. Last week we talked about how love can reign over our past. Do you realize your past and mine does not have to define our future? If we have some mess-ups in our past, we need to bring them to the cross. Find forgiveness and find the power to forgive ourselves and try and move forward. The past does not have to weigh us down emotionally. We all have stuff to deal with, and we need to push back on it. But it's all about making a decision that about our past, that we want to get past our past by believing in the forgiving love of Jesus himself. That's how it works. Well, this morning, the title of the message is this: Love Reigns Over Our Present. Love, the love of God, can reign over our present. Now, I got to thinking about some different folks in the church family and the situations we find ourselves in. Some may have a life-threatening illness or sickness. That's heavy stuff. Some are dealing with intense grief from the loss of a loved one. Others are dealing with loneliness and depression. Maybe they're by themselves, but they're struggling. Others are dealing with the pressures of life. They're just tired. You know what it's from? The wear and tear of life. There's different categories for each of us that all of us fall under, and that's our present. Now, I want us to read together our text this morning. It's in your notes, Romans 12, 1 and 2, two verses. Let's read it. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let's pray. Father, in the remainder of this service, I pray you'll help us to embrace the truth that love can reign over our present circumstances in a powerful way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Here's what I want to do. I want to share three thoughts of how the love of God, the love of Christ, the love of the Holy Spirit can reign or rule over your present life as it is today. That's the goal of the message. Take your sermon listening guide. Let's get started. Number one, the first thing about how love can reign over our present is that daily we need to walk through God's doorway of mercy. We need to daily walk through this doorway of this thing called mercy. Now, in Romans 12, 1 that we just read, let me read it again. Therefore, I urge you, brothers. He's talking to believers, people that are Christians. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. Now, here's the big statement. Live your life in view of God's mercy. So what is mercy? It is the compassion or forgiveness shown to us when in fact we might deserve punishment. God is a merciful God that delights to give us mercy. Now, in this verse, the word mercy, it means God's deep feelings for us in the midst of our struggle. Did you know that God has deep feelings of empathy for you in your struggle in life today? It's called mercy. And as a father, he is willing and ready to extend mercy and grace if we're open to it. So daily walk through this doorway. So read with me from in the text from Lamentations 2:3, 22-23. Let's read it. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Circle the word mercies. It's because of his mercies we are not consumed or defeated in life. You know what the next line says? His compassions fail not. This is where love can reign in your life today. His compassions never fail. We just have to get a hold of them. And so God the Father is saying to us, his mercies and compassions, they are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. If you know, it's always great to get up and maybe you're a bagel person or a donut person and you go and you get something fresh or a cup of coffee. You like it when it's fresh and new. The mercies and the grace of God are new every morning. Every morning, we just got to access them and connect with them. All right. So in the book of Ephesians, Paul wrote a simple prayer. It's in your notes. Let's read it. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, his incomparable great power for us who believe. This is a prayer, and here's what he's saying. I want your eyes spiritually to be open. And I want you to understand that God has riches for you. Riches of mercy and grace that he wants to somehow download into our lives. Now, I've got a couple of pictures here. Here's the first one. This is a place called Fort Knox. It's south of Louisville, Kentucky. It's a fortified vault. This particular place stores about half of the U.S. gold reserves of the United States. It's operated by the Department of Treasury. And inside this building, there are $300 billion worth of gold. $300 billion. It's heavily fortified and protected. And the front door is 20 tons. They say that no one person has the combination to get into it. I mean, there's a high security sequence to even enter it. Very few people, including presidents, ever get inside there. We probably never will. It's so secure because what's inside is of incredible value. Now, I want to show you a picture of what's inside it. It's all this gold. From the earthly perspective, that's riches. I mean, $300 billion worth of gold, that's stored there. And so it's heavily protected and fortified. But you know what? We'll never get in there, nor will many other people. It's protecting it. All right. I want us to read a verse about a door, okay? In your notes, words of Jesus. Let's read it. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. Now, this is Jesus' words, and he says this. When I open a door, it'll stay open. If I close a door, it will stay closed. But there's a door that's open to all of us if we want it. You know what it is? It's a doorway to the riches of his mercy and grace. You and I are invited to walk through this door every day. And you know what you're going to find? It may not be physical gold, but it's gold to your soul that will help you if you need a physical healing miracle in your life. It's gold to your soul if you're dealing with grief and the loss of a loved one. It's gold to your soul if you're struggling with loneliness and depression. It's gold to your soul if you're just tired and worn out from life. You know why? When love reigns in your life, it gives you life. And we have to walk through this open door and take advantage of what's inside. And when we do that, his mercy and his compassions begin to lift us and make all the difference in our life. He invites each of us today. Hey, I've got an open door for you. And you know what's inside? It's called the riches of his mercy and grace. In the book of Hebrews, it says this. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might find mercy and grace to help us in the time of our need. Have you got a need in your life? Something you can't figure out, you can't fix, it's bigger than you are, it's beyond your power and ability? Listen, there's a door. Jesus said it's open. Nobody can shut it right now. And inside is gold for your soul. And he invites us to do that. And when we allow that mercy and grace and his sense of compassion and love to literally be a part of our daily lives, you and I let love reign in us and through us. You know what the end result is? Even though the circumstances of my life are tough, I can still have hope. And I can have a sense of confidence as I trust God to work through the circumstances that I'm dealing with. And it's all about going through the doorway, finding the promise from his word, and leaning into that sense of strength that he alone can provide, that he will do something in our souls that only he can do. So, number one, daily, regularly, walk through the doorway of his mercy and lay hold of the riches, gold for your soul that he wants to give to you. All right. Number two. Second thing in this verse that it says is this. Offer your life as a living sacrifice. Offer your life, your total being, as a living sacrifice. Read with me, Romans 12:1. To offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Let me just say what this means. This is called a heart surrender. To be a living sacrifice is when you take your life and you surrender your heart fully and totally to him. You then become a living sacrifice. What does that mean? He literally pours out the gold of his riches and mercy into your life. And wherever you go, you reflect that. That's what it means to be a living sacrifice. So read with me Philippians 2:17. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Here's the amazing truth about this verse. Paul says that his life is poured out like a drink offering. Visualize it. It's something in a container. He's just being poured out. You know where he's at while he's writing this? He's in jail. He's in prison. If a person's in jail in prison, you don't usually say, wow, my life is being poured out. But that's what he says. And the significance is this: you're here today and you might be in some kind of a prison or jail in your life circumstances. Let me just say this. If you're there this morning in an intense way, God has a whole bunch of gold waiting for you. Not physical gold, but gold for your soul. And Paul's greatest truths about what he wrote about came from when he was in jail, he was in prison. You know what that means? If you're in a hard time this morning, the potential of you seeing gold is greater than the other person. You know why? You're looking for it. You're desperate. You're hungry. You're thirsty. And the more you look for it, the more it's going to appear. Paul said, my life is poured out like a drink offering. Now, I've got a few pictures. This is the first one. How could Paul be poured out as a drink offering? Heart surrender, even in the midst of being in jail unfairly. You may feel like what's going on in your life is just totally unfair. And maybe it is. Doesn't make sense. You didn't ask for it, didn't want it. There it is. Let me tell you, if your heart is surrendered, God will reveal his gold to your soul as you go through it. You will learn something you would not be able to learn if you're in the sunshine. But in the darkness of a prison, Paul says, my life's poured out like a drink offering. Look for the gold wherever you go. Here's another one. There's your life. I read yesterday, somebody said, you know, when we get to the end of our life, each one of us, when our life is over, our lives will be poured out for something. They'll be gone, spent, totally. It's the end of this life. And so everybody's going to pour out their life into something. The question is, what are you pouring it out to? What's the purpose of the pouring? In other words, what are you giving your life to? What is it your energy is focused on? And Paul said, hey, I'm serving the best I can. I'm sacrificing for the faith of other people. I want you to think about your life and ask yourself a question. Are you pouring out for other people? You know, moms and dads pour out for their kids. They sacrifice. Grandparents do the same thing. I mean, your life is literally a decision after decision of trying to make somebody else's life better. In the bigger picture, as you look at that bucket and that water, that's your life. Here's the question. What are you pouring out in terms of a purpose with it? And when Paul says, I want you to know you can be a living sacrifice, you need to offer yourself to God. It's a heart surrender. Lord, here's my life. You know what? Make it count. I want to be poured out like a drink offering to be a blessing to other people. The trial you're going through, let me tell you don't have to say a word, but God is writing a story through your life that other people are watching. And how you handle it, and how your faith can help you overcome it, is huge, because it's your story that he's writing through you. And your life is being poured out as you struggle and go through a difficult time. And you're a blessing to other people. Here's one other quote. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. In other words, it's all about heart surrender, your time, your talent, your energy. Say, God, here's my life. I want to be a living sacrifice. I want to pour my life out to be a blessing to other people. All right. Number one, daily walk through the doorway of God's mercy. I mean, it's there, the door's open, and there's a vault of gold for our soul waiting if we go for it. Number two, offer your life for God to use you, a living sacrifice to be a blessing to other people. Number three, third thing is this, trade your will for God's will. Real simple principle. Trade your will for God's will. Read with me Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Circle the word conform. You see, the world will send us messages of how to live life. And Paul says this, do not be conformed. Don't take the same shape or identity or the similarity of everybody else. As a believer in Christ, we are holy and we're called to a higher life. Don't look like the world because there's no difference. No, we are called through Christ to be something better and something different. And he says, don't conform to the patterns of the world. Here's what it's saying. If you want to know how to live life, don't look for it on the news. Don't look for it in social media. You look for it through God's word. Don't conform to the world. But rather, he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Circle the word transform. Here's what it means. It's a dramatic change in form or appearance or character. In other words, when we are in Christ and we follow him, we are transformed because of him living inside us. I want to give you a couple examples of trading our will for God's will. For example, language. Think about the language you use. Is there any difference between you and the people that aren't here this morning? People that aren't Christians, people that aren't followers of Jesus. Is your language any different than theirs? I hope it is. It should be. You know why? We are called to surrender the old part of ourselves to lay hold of something new. Here's another one. How about attitudes? Are our attitudes any better than the person or that's not even a believer? They should be, because Jesus has an attitude he wants us to be a part of that will make a difference and help us to stand out in a broken world. How about this? Selfishness. You know, we need to trade in our selfishness to get a little bit more generous in the people, in the way that we live in with the people around us. Now, the last couple of verses, let's read those together. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Here's what it's saying. God wants us to trade in our old stuff in order to lay hold of new stuff. It's the old language, it's the old selfishness, it's the old attitudes, it's the old lifestyle. And we trade it in, and he gives us something new. It's called the new self that's in Christ, and the empowerment, and his love begins to live inside us. So as we think about it, here's a couple of quotes. It is God's will to bless us, but not necessarily on our terms. Sometimes what we think would be a wonderful blessing would not bless us at all. You know, I read this, and here's what it's saying. Have you ever wanted God to do something in your life that you think is just way cool, and you want it to happen, but it hasn't happened? And we think it would just be the greatest thing ever, but you know what? Maybe it's not. This is where trust comes in the faith walk. We trust in the Lord with all of our heart. We don't lean on our own understanding. We acknowledge him in all our ways, and he will direct our paths. The point is this: trust your life to God, yield your will to his, and then walk it forward. And if he gives it to you, awesome. If he doesn't, maybe, just maybe, that which we want for ourselves may not be the best thing. That's a hard one. Hard one for me, hard one for you. But when we trust God, he will bless us as we walk it forward. All right, here's another one. Your response to God's voice will determine the direction of your life. This is huge. Your response to God speaking to your heart, trading in your old self for the new, that whole journey of struggle and transformation, when you and I do that, let me tell you, it will change the trajectory of our lives when we follow his voice. That's who God is, and that's who he blesses. So three simple thoughts. You want love to reign in your present circumstances? Walk through the doorway of his mercy every day. You know why? They're fresh every morning. There's a vault. There's gold for your soul, for healing, for hope, for a better attitude, for depression, for the wear and tear of life. He's got gold for any person that is willing to walk through that door. Number two, offer your life to him and say, God, pour me out to be a blessing wherever I go. Here I am. Number three, be willing to trade your will, to yield it to him for God's will. You know how we make the worst mistakes of our life? When we demand it has to be my way. I look back on the mistakes of my life, it's when Larry got in the way. The same is true of each of us. If you're willing to yield, it's called heart surrender. Let me tell you, and you listen to his voice going forward, that will determine your life's direction. It'll be a higher path. It'll be on a bigger, higher level. It'll be better things when we take time to honor him. I have two slides, and then I'll close. Here's the first one. This is on top of the Empire State Building. The Empire State Building stands 1,250 feet tall. When you count the spire and the antenna, it's over 1,400 feet tall. It's currently the fourth tallest building in New York City, the sixth tallest in the U.S., and now the 43rd tallest tower in the world. It was built in 1930 and 31, and for about 40 years, it was the tallest building ever. And then others were built that were larger. But on top of the building, there's this. It's like a binocular. Binoculars. Some of you have been there and maybe looked out through them. So what does it do? The binoculars, when you look out, brings things much closer. There's great clarity. Things that you can see a long ways with your natural eyes. That's great. You see out over the city. If you use binoculars, it becomes clearer yet of what the street looks like or what a building looks like a mile or two away. That's what they do. Here's the application. When you and I spend time in the Word of God, the Word becomes a binocular to us. We see it more clearly. We see the gold. If we don't spend time in the Word, we probably won't see with clarity what's really out there. But when you and I take time in God's presence, read his Word, pray, listen to good music, come to church, be a part of other groups, let me tell you, the clarity of your life becomes more crystal clear. And everything we do gets filtered through the binoculars. It's his Word. And we say, Lord, I thought this was the way to go, but I need to yield it. It's not good for me. I need your will, not mine. It's a continual journey. You may be here today and you have a decision to make about, maybe it's a job or a relationship or whatever it is, and you just need to get the binoculars out and start reading the Word and say, God, what do I do here? And He'll show you. It will become crystal clear. And so the end result, and I'll go with the last slide, I will follow God's plan. Love will reign over my present when I daily go through the doorway of His mercy and I find the gold for my soul. Love will reign when I offer my life as a living sacrifice. Lord, pour me out. Make me a blessing wherever I go. Number three, love will reign in your life in a new level, a new way, when you are willing to trade your will for His will, even when you don't get your way. God is God, and we trust Him with our lives. So I want you to know, whatever your life circumstances today, this moment you came into the service, let His mercies, His compassions, they're new every morning. Let them reign in your life. And you know what the end result will be? You're going to feel alive with hope despite the circumstances. You're going to feel good about life just because God is God and you're trusting Him in a difficult time. And it's all about heart surrender. You yield your will, your preferences to Him and let Him just work in your life and let love reign in your present circumstances. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to take just a few moments and ask yourself the question, have you been going through the doorway? It's wide open. Say, God, I need some gold for my soul today. Just lean into His mercies, His grace, His compassions, His love. Say, Lord, I want that to reign in my life today. A living sacrifice. This is about heart surrender. Maybe you're here today and God is speaking to your heart, and here's what He's saying. I want you just to allow me to live in and through your life, and it's all about surrendering yourself to Him, the Lordship of Christ. Maybe you need to do that right now. You know what the end result is? Peace. Just give it to Him right now. Surrender it. Give it all to Him. And lastly, say, Lord, I'd like this to happen, but I'm willing to surrender my will and exchange it for Your purpose, whatever that is. You surrender it. You exchange your will for His. Father, I pray a word of prayer and blessing over every person here in the sanctuary and those watching on Facebook, that we will allow Your love to reign over our lives today, in the present. And I pray that You'll show somebody here the gold You have for their soul that they haven't seen yet. But that's why they're there. And You'll make it clear to them that You are writing a story that will honor You as they trust You. Father, make us individually and collectively a living sacrifice to our community, our families, and the people around us, even the people in the Philippines. And Father, we just surrender our wills to You and ask that You'd be glorified in all that we do. May Your love reign in us and through us to bless the people around us in a broken world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.